If you turn to Matthew chapter 24 and tying in with that hymn that we've just been singing there, you'll find the opening words of verse 44 is the text that we want to think about this evening. Just a few simple words here in verse 44. It says, "Therefore be ye also ready." Therefore be ye also ready. Let's just bow in prayer for a moment and ask the Lord for His blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we acknowledge Thy mercy and goodness to us. We thank Thee for that little lad saved this morning in Sunday school. And we praise Thee for that. And we pray that Thou would lead him on with Thyself, and may he grow in grace. Make him a man of God, we ask of Thee. And Lord, may there be others as well who will come to Christ, and that they would be ready to meet Thee at Thy coming. Lord, come and bless us now. Speak to our hearts as we come to Thy Word. There is a great challenge in these words, O Lord, as we think about the day of Thy coming. And we pray that we might indeed be ready. Speak to all of our hearts and bless Thy truth to us this evening, we pray. Give help, Lord, in the preaching. Give us all help to hear and receive Thy Word. We look for the ministry of the Holy Ghost. We thank Thee there is unction from above that is promised, and it comes by the Holy Ghost coming down upon us and coming down among us. And we pray tonight that Thou will bless our meditation upon Thy Word, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The first word of this statement, therefore, will indicate that this exhortation is given in the light of certain things. And the Lord Jesus here is emphasizing the certainty, the suddenness, and the unexpectedness of His coming the second time to this world. And in the light of those things, there is this exhortation then that is given. Therefore, be ye also ready. Now, the Lord Jesus is emphasizing here that He is most certainly coming the second time to this world. We read from verse 29, but if you go back to the beginning of the chapter, you'll know there that there are three questions in verse 3 that the disciples asked about this matter. Tell us, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world, or the end of the age, as the word means there? So there were those three questions that were asked by the disciples. They wanted the Lord to answer, and the Lord answers those, but He also then applies these truths, because they're not truths that are just stand with no relation and no impact upon our lives. These great truths about His coming again, there's an application that the Lord Jesus makes, because having stated and explained a little bit about His coming, then He goes on to make this application that there is a need to be ready in the light of His coming again and the certainty of it. There are signs that He tells us that will take place there in those earlier verses, general signs, verses 1 to 14, Jerusalem signs, and also heavenly signs. But He will appear, because in verse 29 and 30 that is emphasized, immediately after the tribulation of these days. And there's things that are mentioned there. Then verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So the Lord Jesus is emphasizing the certainty of His coming. And in the light of that, then, this statement, this exhortation that we're coming tonight to look at, stands and is very applicable to us all. Therefore, be ye also ready in the light of His coming. But also here He mentions the suddenness of His coming. Verse 27 of this portion. Because lightning is used to represent the suddenness of the coming of the Lord. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And when you think of, you know, some of those storms and the lightning that takes place, maybe even not so much in this part of the world, maybe sometimes during holidays, and there's a storm that goes through that seems to be far greater than anything, lightning anyway seems to be far greater than anything we observe in this part of the world. But it's the suddenness of it, that flash of lightning that goes across the sky just in an instant. Well, the Lord uses that picture of lightning and says, that's exactly how my coming is going to be. It's going to be sudden. It's going to be sudden. Therefore, verse 44, this statement, therefore, be ye also ready. Because I am coming. Not only am I'm coming suddenly. Therefore, be ye ready. And the unexpectedness of that coming is also emphasized here. For example, verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. And then there's this example that is given of the good man of the house. If he had known what time the thief was coming, he would have been on his guard. He would have been watching. He would have been alert, wakeful. But he doesn't know when the thief is coming. The thief's going to arrive unannounced, in a sense. And the Lord Jesus says, my coming is going to be like that as well. And therefore be ye also ready. So in the light of those three points that are emphasized here in this particular chapter, you come then to this exhortation that is given in the opening words of verse 44. And tonight I want to draw some points to your consideration about this statement and the thought of being ready to meet the Lord. I want you first of all to consider that there is a means whereby we can be ready to meet the Lord. The word ready there is a noun that refers to a state of being that an individual is found in. It's not a verb, it's a noun, and it refers, as I say, to a state of being. It's referring to being in this state of being ready, that something has happened, something has taken place in our lives that has made us ready. We have addressed this matter and thought about this matter and done something about the matter of the coming of the Lord. And that now we are ready to meet the Lord when He comes, whenever He might come. No matter whether it's sudden and unexpected as it is going to be, but we have made ourselves ready and we are ready and waiting for the coming of the Lord. There is a means whereby that can come about and that can take place. As we know, in our natural state before God, we are unready and unprepared. Jesus Christ is coming the second time as the judge of this world. He came the first time as the Savior. He came not to condemn the world, but through Him the world might be saved. But He's coming the second time as the judge of this world. And that ought to alarm us, because we are sinners. We are those who are going to be called before Him. If we continue on in our sinful state and we make no preparation and we are not ready for that day of His coming, then we're going to stand before Him not as our Savior, but we're going to stand before Him as our judge. And there's that question that is asked, or two questions really, that is asked in Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. Who may abide the day of His coming? And who shall stand when He appeareth? For He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. Who shall abide the day of His coming? Who will stand? If we have not made preparation, if we are not ready, who's going to stand before God in that day? But the glorious truth of the gospel is that there is a way to be ready. And we can be in that state of readiness. It's not a process that is here highlighted. In this command and exhortation in verse 44, be also ready. It is not a process. It is not sufficient to claim that we are in the process of making ourselves ready. It will be too late. It will be too late to begin making ourselves ready when the announcement of His coming is made. Remember the lesson that is taught in that next chapter? Because in chapter 25, the opening verses there is the parable of the 10 virgins. And that parable emphasizes, illustrates this very point, because we come upon the 5 foolish virgins that they discover they have no oil in their lamp, and they set about making themselves ready when it is announced that the bridegroom is coming, but it's too late. It's too late. It's too late then to start making preparation when the announcement is made. And if you go back up the chapter there where we were reading a little bit, verse 31 will tell you about this announcement, the great sound of the trumpet, and the sign that will appear as well, verse 30, of the coming of the Son of Man. So there is emphasis made here about the announcement of His coming. He has arrived. He has come. Well, it's too late then to set about making preparation, or even completing preparation, as somebody might think. No, we have to be in a state of readiness, waiting for that day to come. As I say, this word ready has the suggestion of a state of being. But we are already ready. We have made the preparation that is needed for that coming day. And now we are waiting for that day to come. Turn back just a couple of chapters there in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22. Notice how this word ready is used in the parable that you find there at the start of Matthew chapter 22. And it tells us there about a parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king that made a great marriage for his son. But look at verse 4. Here's the message that went out. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. And you'll see the word ready there in that verse. It's exactly the same form as you have in Matthew 24 and verse 4. It's referring to a state of being. All things are ready. That's the message that goes out from this king with regards to the marriage of his son. He's having this great celebration. The wedding feast is going to take place because of the marriage of his son. There's servants that have gone out and called him, but they wouldn't come in verse 3. But then they're sent out again, and the exhortation is emphasized. All things are now ready. It's not in the state of being prepared and being made ready. No, the message goes out. It's all ready. Everything is prepared. Come, for everything is ready. Everything is prepared. In fact, the word prepare there in verse 4 comes from the same root word. This is the verb form of it. I have prepared. But it's indicating that it's complete. He doesn't say, I am preparing my dinner. No, he says, I have prepared my dinner. It's completed. And there's that thought that is emphasized here in this word. It is a state of being. It is something that is not in the process of taking place, but it is something that has actually come about. We are ready. We are prepared. Look at verse 8 of chapter 22 there as well, and you'll find the words repeated. Then saith he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. And again, the thought is of something that is complete, something that all the preparation has been done. And so we could go on multiplying other references tonight along a similar vein that indicates that there is this need to be in this state of readiness. And there is a means whereby we can be. There is a means whereby we can be. That's what it means to be in Christ. That's what it means to have come to Christ and sought Him for salvation and to know Him as our Savior, so that we are then ready. We are no longer under condemnation. Once we were under condemnation and we were in line to meet Him as our judge. But now we've come to Christ and sin has been cleansed and has been forgiven and we're washed. He's our Savior. We're in a state of readiness to meet the Lord. There is a means tonight whereby that can happen. And it can only happen if we've come to Christ. It can only happen if we have sought Him as our Savior and repented of our sins and believed the gospel. Then we are in a state of readiness. And may we indeed be ready to meet the Lord. Secondly, I want you to consider here as well from the statement in Matthew 24, verse 44, that there are many who have made themselves ready. Notice the word also in that statement. Therefore be ye also ready. And surely that infers that there are those who have made themselves ready, and the exhortation goes out to others, come and join them. Come and be like them. Here are individuals who indeed have made themselves ready. Here are those who are aware of His coming and know that it's going to be sudden and know that it's going to be unexpected. And they have made themselves ready, and the exhortation goes out then to others, come and join them. Come and join them. Be ye also ready. There will be those who will be ready to meet the Lord when He comes. Turn over to Revelation chapter 19. And this language is used of those who are indeed ready to meet the Lord in the day of His coming. Revelation chapter 19 is a chapter about His coming again to this world in power and in great glory. But look, let's read from verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. So here's reference made to a people who are ready. It's the bride of the Lamb. It is all of the redeemed. All of those who are saved are the Lamb's wife, the bride of the Lamb. And it speaks there about that they have made themselves ready. The bride has made herself ready. And then, if we were wanting, well, what does that mean? Verse 8 explains it. That to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Here's the preparation that is anticipated. It's being clothed with the righteousness of Christ, as we have already mentioned. There is a means whereby we can be ready and prepared. If we have on the righteousness of Christ, then we are ready. We're ready to meet the Lord. And here's the bride being described here in Revelation 19, the day of the Lord's coming. And she's made herself ready. And there's many, many, as we know, who are going to be ready. A great multitude will be numbered among the people of God who have made themselves ready. It is possible, you see, to be ready. It is possible. If you come back to Matthew chapter 25 again in the parable of the 10 virgins, look at verse 10 of that parable, and here it is again. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. The door was shut. It is those who have made themselves ready who are going to go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there's going to be a great multitude who will have made themselves ready, and they will be able to go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. So it's possible to be ready. It's possible to say, I'm ready. I've made the preparation. I've come to Christ. I'm clothed tonight with His righteousness. I'm ready to meet the King when He comes. But then the exhortation goes out to others. Be ye also ready. Because as we know, there's those who are not ready. There are those who have not made the preparation. As we were singing in that opening hymn there this evening, there's others. We cannot leave them lost. And we want them over there. They need to be ready. They need to make the preparation. But it's gloriously possible to be ready. It's absolutely necessary to be ready. If you look at verses 11 and 12 there of Matthew 25, it says, afterwards came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Here's why it's absolutely necessary to be ready. Because if we are not ready, the Lord will disown us. There will be those who will come thinking that they have a right to enter into the marriage supper of the Lamb, thinking that they have some entitlement to heaven, and that they ought to get in there, and they're knocking on the door wanting to know, why is the Lord not letting us in? And the Lord's going to tell them, I never knew you. You're strangers to me. And why are they strangers to the Lord? Because they've never made any preparation. They're not ready. They do not have on the righteousness of Christ. They've never come as sinners to Christ. And therefore they are not ready. Oh, it's absolutely necessary that we are ready. But it's also gloriously possible to be sure that you're ready. Remember those words that Peter wrote to, well, there were Jewish believers that he was writing to in his first epistle, 1 Peter 3:15, it says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and faith. Be ready. Now the word ready there is used in a slightly different sense because it's ready to give an answer. But you can't give an answer. You can't be ready to give an answer unless there has been the preparation, unless you're in a state of readiness to meet the Lord. You can never give a reason of the hope that lies within you. There's actually two points that are being emphasized there by Peter. First of all, he makes reference to the hope that an individual can have. There is a hope. And the word hope in the Bible is used in the sense of a confident expectation. That's how the word hope is used in the Bible. A confident expectation. We're not using the word hope, or the Bible doesn't use the word hope to introduce doubt and uncertainty. The Bible uses the word hope in the sense, here is something that is sure, here is certain, something that is certain. The Lord Jesus is called the blessed hope in Titus with regards to His coming. His coming is not in doubt. His coming is sure and certain, as we have been already thinking about this evening. So the idea of the word hope is the thought of a confident expectation. Well, Peter writing there to those believers, he speaks about a hope that they have, a confident expectation that they have. What is that hope? What is that expectation? That they're ready, ready to meet the King. But then he also emphasizes, what's your reason for that hope? That's what you want to be able to answer. You've got to be ready to give a reason of the hope. Is it a false hope, a false confidence, a false expectation? What's the grounds of that hope that an individual has? Peter says, are you ready to give an answer in that regard? Are you able to speak of Christ and having come to Christ? Are you able to give a reason of the hope that lies within? And it's one thing to have a hope, it's another thing to have that hope based upon what is true and right, and have it based upon Jesus Christ. And that's the reason for the hope. And therefore, we can be sure that we are ready if we're trusting in Christ and in His finished work, and we have His righteousness upon us. There's others that have already made themselves ready. And the exhortation was out then, be ye also. And there's many who need to hear that exhortation tonight. They're the individuals who need to hear, be ye also ready, because they're not ready tonight. There's those that we pray for. There's those that are near and dear to us, maybe in our families, and they're not ready. But the exhortation goes out, be ye also, and may we indeed be ready. One final thing here I want you to consider, and that's the urgency that there is in this statement as well. There's an urgency here, be ye also ready. As we have been thinking, and this is obvious, that the words are directed to those who are not ready, but there's an urgency here. There's an urgency. And this is not something that can be neglected, that can be only thought about when it suits. No, here's something that is pressing, that is urgent. Those who have never made themselves ready need to take heed to this. They have busied themselves with other things. They've neglected the well-being of their souls. And as it is now, they're not ready. And here's the message from the lips of the Son of God. And as I said at the beginning, the Lord Jesus not only confirms those truths about His coming that we thought about there at the beginning, but He applies this truth. Here's the consequences of it. Here's the implications of what He has been saying. There is a need to prepare, and there is a need to prepare now. It is something that ought to have our attention right away, that we ought to prepare and make ready. There will be those for whom that day will overtake them as a thief in the night. Paul tells us that in 1 Thessalonians 5:4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Now, the thief is already mentioned here as well in verse 43 of Matthew 24. This idea of the thief and the suddenness, the unexpectedness of the thief turning up is used by the Lord Jesus and it is used by Paul. But there's the thought there of that day, the coming of the Lord, overtaking individuals, and they're not ready. They're described there as being in darkness. And the darkness in the Bible is used as a picture of a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding. There's individuals and they've never come to an understanding that they need to make preparation. They need to be ready. They've never come to an understanding that they're sinners. They've never come to realize that Christ indeed is coming and they're going to stand before Him and give an answer for deeds done in the body. They don't understand any of these things. They live without any regard for these things. And that day is going to overtake them as a thief in the night. They're going to be unready and unprepared. So the Lord Jesus here emphasizes the urgency of it. And He would confirm that He is coming, but the Lord Jesus does not pass up on the opportunity to use these words as an exhortation then to be read. There was an occasion in the Old Testament when the prophet of God announced that the people were to prepare to meet their God. But it was too late to meet the Lord in mercy. That great statement that we all know in Amos 4:12, prepare to meet thy God, is actually in the context of judgment. It is actually in the context, there's no more mercy. There's no more opportunity to get right with God. There's no more opportunity to repent and prepare for His coming. All of that is gone. Now just prepare to meet Him in judgment. And that's the context of those words. And I know we take them out of context and we just use it as a statement, and that's fair enough, to prepare to meet thy God. But if you go back to the context of Amos 4 and look at the context, it is in the context of coming judgment. There is no more mercy. There's no more opportunity to repent and get right with God and be ready to meet Him. No, prepare to meet Him as your judge. That's what Amos was saying. That was the message that he was preaching. Prepare to meet Him as your judge. And there will be many who will be in that state when the Lord comes. They're going to meet Him as their judge. They will have heard. They will have been exhorted. The call will have gone out to them many times, but it will be unheeded. And they will come to that day unready, unprepared, and they will meet their God. not in a state of readiness, but in a state of unreadiness. Not in a state of being prepared, but unprepared. And they'll meet him as their judge. And those words of Amos will stand true over and over and over again. Prepare to meet your God. There's an urgency tonight. If we are not to meet God as our judge, then we need to make preparation. But in this portion that we have read tonight, there are some particular points that the Lord Jesus emphasizes that I want to draw to your attention as we come to a close. You'll notice there in verse 42 that he highlights the fact that we know not the hour of his coming. And that adds urgency then to this exhortation. Be ye also ready, for you know not the hour of his coming. That's stated there in verse 42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. There's two ways we can take that. We can think of the Lord calling us away before the hour of his coming. And as we know, that happens for many, many people, and may well happen for us. As the Lord tarries, the Lord may call us away before the day of his coming, but we need to be ready. Whenever that day comes, we need to be prepared. And whether it is that we are called away before his coming or he actually comes, we need to be ready, because we don't know the day of his coming. We don't know when that day will come when the Lord will call us away. We don't know the day of his coming. In verse 36 of this chapter, it says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. That day is unknown to us. And therefore, because it is unknown to us, either the day when the Lord calls us away unexpectedly, or the day that the Lord comes unexpectedly, both of those are unknown. Therefore, be ye also ready. Because none of us know those 2 days. Therefore, be ready. There's the urgency. But then if you look at this verse 44 again, the rest of the verse, he will come at an hour when many do not think he will come. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And if we could bring in the words of Peter there as well, because Peter records that there will be those who in that day will say, where is the sign of his coming? They don't believe he's coming. They've got this idea that God isn't interested in this world, or that God doesn't even exist. And therefore this is just a fairy tale. And Peter gives us those words that they will utter. Where is the sign of his coming? They don't think that he's coming at all. And they're going to act accordingly. That's why there's reference made there to the days of Noah. Back in verse 37. But as in the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. The same spirit is going to come again. And in Noah's day, that was the spirit that was abroad. They didn't believe the Lord was going to come in judgment, that he was going to send a flood upon the earth. And there will be many again who will be of the mind, oh, the Lord's not coming. We don't believe that. There's no sign of his coming. There's no evidence that the Lord cares. And the Lord Jesus here says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. There will be those who will think that he's not coming. And at that very moment he will come. He will come. Now there will be those who will know that he's coming and know that it is near. Again, they'll not know the exact day or the hour, but the people of God will know that he's coming if we understand the word of God and are able to read the signs that the Lord even gives in this particular portion. We'll know that it's coming. In fact, the Lord Jesus mentions that there because he says it's at the doors. It's there. It's near. It's about to happen. But that'll be for those that know the Lord and those who know his word. But there will be others. And they will be off the attitude, he's not coming, where is the sign? Where is the evidence that the Lord is coming? And suddenly the Lord will appear. And to them he gives this exhortation, oh, be ye ready, be ye ready. I was reading a quote about this verse of Scripture, or this thought about being ready. And it went like this, it is useless to set the day and the hour of Christ's coming, but it is folly. It is useless to set the day and hour of his coming, but it is folly to neglect. We need to be ready. And may each one of us here tonight be ready. May we take on board the exhortation that the Lord here gives. Be ye also ready. That we might be able to say, I'm ready. I'm able, I'm ready to give a reason of the hope that is in me. And I'm looking for his coming. May we be ready. Let's bow together in prayer.